The longer you TA, the better you'll become at it. And some of this will happen automatically, as your brain automates the processes you're doing, leaving you with more working memory available to handle the next ACT task at hand. But some of this requires some effort on your part to understand how you're doing and how you can improve. And often that effort needs to begin by understanding your own strengths and weaknesses. This can be surprisingly difficult to understand what you're doing well and what you're doing poorly, both because it's difficult to recognize the details of your own self, because you tend to do those sort of in a subconscious way, but also because it's not always immediately evident what indeed is a strength and what indeed is a weakness, whether in the present circumstance it's more important to have this brawny, powerful teaching technique or a softer approach that will cause the students to engage more fully and so forth. So it can be challenging to understand what it is that needs to be improved. To help you understand that, I'm going to suggest three broad categories of things you can do to learn areas where you might be able to improve as a teacher, which I'm going to call view, review, and feedback. Let's start with view. By view, I mean view other instructors. Look for TAs, look for faculty, look for people who are teaching, and see how are they teaching, what are they doing, what can I learn from them. In addition to these more formal things, you also might consider various informal kinds of teachings. How do people give directions to other people? How do people explain how things are going? Understand how people are communicating, and these can be useful ways of helping yourself understand what you could do better. In doing this, as you're doing your reviewing, I encourage you to ask a small number of specific questions to help yourself better internalize and benefit from what you're viewing. The first of these is to ask why. Why did they say it that way? Why did they wait as long as they did? Why did they use that hand gesture? Why did they break eye contact here and keep it there? Why? There's lots of questions to ask. As you ask these, you'll start to put yourself in the position of the teacher and start to understand not just what they did, but also things that perhaps should be thought about as you're thinking about your own teaching. Along with this, you should ask, who is this teaching good for, and who is it teaching bad for? Let's take that idea of a pause. If a question is asked and there's a long pause, what kind of student is benefited by the long pause? What kind of student might have been benefited more by having a shorter pause? It's rare. Sometimes you'll find teaching strategy that's just universally good for everyone. But many of them are good for many students, but not necessarily for all. And thinking about this can help you tease apart some additional understanding of what you should be thinking about as a teacher. The last one I would encourage you to think about every time you're observing a teacher is ask yourself, how can I do that? What would that strategy look like in the context of what I do? Right? If you're watching somebody in a classroom, but you're tutoring people one-on-one, there's going to be some translation. If you're watching somebody teaching one topic, you're teaching another, there's going to need some adjustment to understand how it will work. But think about what it would look like if you were to do something similar in the contexts you work in. So these are some ideas about viewing other instructors. Reviewing is more about viewing yourself, understanding what you yourself are doing. One way you could do that, sorry about my bad handwriting, is you could record yourself. Okay? Make an actual recording of your own teaching and then come back and listen to or view that recording after the fact. Do you need to be a little careful about the ethics of recording interactions with students? UVA generally says that you can't record without permission, although the state is a lot broader and just says you'll need permission of one individual. But think about the appropriate ways of doing this. Something I sometimes will like to do is record only my own voice, not any of the other actions, partly because that way I don't have to worry as much about having recordings with somebody else, but also because this gives me a chance to focus on what I did instead of getting caught up when viewing the recording on what the students were doing and jumping back into that teaching mindset. Okay? So recordings of yourself can be useful. One of the greatest ways of doing this, although it may not be obvious that it works so well, but does work very well in practice, is to do some sort of role play. Ask somebody to pretend to be a student, teach them with the purpose of recording it so that you can then view that after the fact. Because a lot of those teaching strategies you use in roleplay are the same teaching strategies you'd use in reality. You can get the permission in advance to do this in a very easy way, and you can learn from what you did in this way. Recording requires a fair amount of effort. And an easier thing to do that requires no kind of permissions, has no liability concerns, is simply to reflect. Think back on how that most recent teaching experience went. What did you do well? What did you do poorly? How did the student react to what you did? Think back on what happened, and you can learn. It's going to be more biased in what you'll think about than if you take a recording, because your brain records at sort of different levels depending on how busy it is and notices some things more than others. But it can still be a useful way of learning from your own teaching. When you're taking these reviews, I would encourage you to use some sort of rubric. In particular, I suggest tick marks of some sort in thinking about your teaching. It's absolutely useful to look for broad patterns and sort of notice what you notice. But it's particularly useful to count things, to notice if they happened at all and how many times they happened. Not to try to grade yourself, but to give yourself a deeper understanding. How often did I say How often did I reach for their keyboard? How often did I ask a question and then answer my own question without the student answering in between? Asking yourself these kinds of questions can help give you some data to back up some of that instinct and can help you understand where it is that you could focus the most. So you can view other teachers, you can review your own teaching. You can also get feedback, comments from others about your teaching instead of only your own thoughts. One source of feedback is from the students with whom you interact. This can be odd. If you try to ask for it every time, it'll get a little bit strange for some students. But from time to time, it can be useful to ask the student, what am I doing well? What am I doing poorly? What are other TAs you interact with doing that you appreciate? Or who do you appreciate? Who should I go view? Asking for some feedback from students can be useful, assuming they are in a relaxed enough state of mind and comfortable enough with you to give you useful feedback. It is worth remembering, though, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that some students are motivated by the desire to get their assignments turned in more than their desire to learn. Some certain students are certainly motivated by the desire to learn, but those that are motivated more by their assignments may give you feedback that doesn't perfectly align with what you, as a teaching assistant, are trying to accomplish. So you may need to apply some thought about what comes back, but there's something to learn even in those cases. You can also ask for feedback from TAs or faculty or other people that are doing teaching. Ask them to watch you interact and then to comment on how that went, to give their thoughts on what you did well, what you did poorly, what you could do differently. Both of these sources are fairly heavy-handed. You have to engage somebody else here. You can also do something completely on your own. You can get what I like to call lightning feedback, instantaneous feedback, in the middle of what's going on simply by guessing how the student will react to something you've done before they do it and then verifying if that guess was correct. So you ask a question, expecting some sort of reaction, and see, is that the reaction I got? This can teach you a lot of things, although it's a fairly nuanced way of understanding how this works, because if their reaction isn't what you expect, you don't know if that's because you didn't express yourself clearly, or if the student's mind was in a different position than you thought, and so forth. But when it doesn't go the way you thought, it's likely to be evidence that there's some room to understand more fully how to teach, how to listen, how to interact with students, and so forth. So, together, viewing other instructors, reviewing how you yourself work, and collecting feedback in formal and informal ways can help you gain a lot of ideas about what you might be able to improve as you strive to be the best teacher you can be. It's likely if you spend much time doing this, you'll get so many ideas that you can't meaningfully do them all at once. And this will lead to our next video.